Our Father, in the name of Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to fellowship on the written word and to fellowship with one another. And our Father, we ask that as we look into your word now, every eye is open to see, every ear open to hear. There is no confusion in any heart. Rather, we enjoy the fullness of light, revelation, and insight in all of this house. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father. We give you praise, for we know it's done. For in Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, you can take your seat. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18. Okay, we've been looking at the ministry of angels. Amen. I trust God that we are able to put a full stop on that teaching today. Amen. Okay, the ministry of angels. Hebrews 12:18, read down to verse 24. It says, "For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire, and to darkness and blackness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them." Okay, for they could not endure what was commanded, and if so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. Okay, 21 says, "And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling." Okay, look at 22. It says, "But you've come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel." Praise the Lord. Okay, so we've not come to judgment, amen, the law, condemnation, but we've come to Mount Zion, praise the Lord, to grace, mercy, salvation, amen, which is found in Christ. Okay, a Mount Zion there would be a typology or an archetype for the church, meaning that Zion in the Old Testament, which was David's own city, served as a type in the Old Testament, a shadow, a foreshadowing of the church of Christ. Okay, and in this church, in this reality that we've come into by faith in Christ, we find angels present. Hallelujah. Okay, so you can say it this way, that angels are part of the new creation realities that we have in Christ, or the ministry of angels is one of the realities that accrues to the man in Christ. Okay, so that means that just as in Christ you have righteousness, in Christ you have holiness, and in Christ you're Son of God, in Christ you are God's heaven, amen, you know, and so on and so forth. In Christ you have authority, you have the power of God resident in you. In Christ you also enjoy the ministry of angels. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we just look through God's word to see what God's word has to say concerning this subject. You know, we said that angels were created, amen, just like men. Only God was not made. Okay, but angels were made, okay, just like men. We also saw when they were made. You know, from the evidences found in scripture, we pinpoint that to be the first day of creation. You know, we also looked at the bodily appearance of angels. You know, how do angels look? Okay, we saw their names, amen, the names of angels. Okay, you know, the terminology is given to angels, you know, as well as the power that angels possess, amen. Then we saw ranking and order amongst the angels. Praise the Lord. Okay, then we ask and answer the question that are angels omnipresent? That is, are angels everywhere? And the answer would be no. Okay, only God has those attributes. Amen. Also, we said that how many angels exist? Okay, we saw God's word concerning that as well. Then also we saw that issue of, you know, guardian angels. Folks ask the question that do each believer have their own guardian angels? Amen. So we try to see God's word as touching that line. Then I think lastly we saw the angel of the Lord. Amen. That angel that is mentioned in the Old Testament. The angel of the Lord, you know, his identity is quite linked to Yahweh of the Old Testament. You know, he speaks like Yahweh. He does things in Yahweh's power, Yahweh's stead, Yahweh's authority. Okay, and then we said that the angel of the Lord cannot be God, okay, theophany, cannot be Christ, a Christophany. He would point to an angel who was given much authority by God. You know, the Hebrews would refer to one who has the authority of another, okay, as the one who gave that same authority. So it's no surprise that the angel of the Lord, given that authority of Yahweh, spoke like Yahweh, acted like Yahweh, amen, but is not Yahweh of the Old Testament, amen. Okay, our best guess would be Michael, the archangel who was given authority, amen, and you know, in the ranking of angels, he stands above all. He has the place of prominence, hallelujah. Alright, so that's a brief recap on what we've seen so far. So we'll just pick up from there in this session, tie a few knots here and there, and then we conclude on this. Now, before we proceed, alright, I'd like us to look briefly at something. Amen. Now, remember that we've said that angels are spirits. Remember that? Hebrews 1:14 tells us that. It says, are they angels, not all ministering spirits? Amen. Sent forward to minister for those who will inherit salvation. Okay, so angels are spirit beings. You follow that? Spirit beings. Okay, yet you see that God has given angels the duty, the responsibility of protecting his children. You see that Psalm 91:11-12. It tells us that there, Psalm 91:11-12, it says, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. So it says, in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Alright, now spirits by definition are air-like. Remember that? Or like the air, like the wind. Remember that word pneuma? In the Greek, spirit, all right. Pneuma, spirit, essentially refers to something that can't be seen, okay, touched or felt physically, all right. Can't be seen, touched, or felt physically, all right. So, the question now is, how can angels protect men from physical dangers when they are spirits? Do you follow that? Air-like. Okay, how can angels protect men from physical dangers when they are spirit? You know, I was thinking about this while I studied this particular teaching. You know, I like to ask questions as I study my Bible. Amen. So the question is, won't it be difficult for angels, amen, being spirits, to protect men from physical danger? Do you get the logic? You know, so how can they touch man? Do you get it? How can they save man from physical danger? All right, you know, if it's spiritual danger, you know, that's possible because they're spirits. Okay, but what about the physical dangers that we encounter in our day-to-day living? You know, for example, car accidents, natural disasters, and so on and so forth. Okay, so how can angels being spirits save men from physical danger, physical accidents? Okay, so let's examine this briefly, then we move on, you know, into what we have for today. Now, first of all, you note that God himself is a spirit. Amen. John 4:24 tells us that. It says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Okay, so God is a spirit. Oh, God is spirit. Okay, and that is why God is called invisible. Amen. He's called invisible. Colossians 1:15, it says, He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. Okay, underline that, the invisible God, okay, the firstborn over all creation. Alright, so no one has seen God because God is a spirit. Amen. By definition, spirits are invisible. You know, just like the wind, pneuma, okay? John 1:18 says, No one has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. Okay, so God is spirit, right? See, that's clear in scripture. Yet, God can influence natural things. Amen? God can cause things to happen naturally, even though God is a spirit. See Job 37 verse 5, for example. Job 37 verse 5, okay, it says, God thunders marvelously with His voice. He does great things which cannot be comprehended. For He says to the snow, fall on the earth, likewise to the gentle rain and the heaven rain of His strength. Okay, you see that God can cause things to happen in the physical, although God is spirit. Amen. You see that in Genesis chapter 1, Moses there gives us a detailed account of how God makes creation. You know, the power of God causes things to happen naturally. Amen. Yet God remains a spirit. Moses tells us that the spirit of God hovered over the face of the deep. Amen. So God being a spirit can cause things to happen physically, can cause things to change naturally. Amen. Angels can also do likewise. Amen. You know, angels are spirits. Alright, angels can also do likewise. You know, the book of Job, for example, describes how the devil could manipulate the weather. Okay, the devil there in the book of Job could manipulate the weather. Okay, see Job 1:16. Job 1:16 says, while he was still speaking, another also came and said, the fire of God came from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you. You see that? He mentions fire, okay, from heaven. See verses 18 to 19. They speak of a great wind. Okay, verses 18 to 19 of that same chapter speak of a great wind. It says, while it was still speaking, another also came and said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people. Okay, underline that. A great wind, right, and it fell on the young people, and they are dead, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Okay, and we know that Satan was behind all of this. The text tells us that Job 1 verse 12, it says, and the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power, only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. You see that? So Satan was behind all the misfortunes that came upon Job. You see all the natural disasters? You see that? Okay, now the devil is an ex-angel. Amen? He's an angel, but an ex-angel, okay? He left the service of Yahweh, okay? So the devil essentially is a spirit. You see that? Okay, being an angel is a spirit. Yet, he could control natural phenomena. You see that? He could control the weather. He could control nature. You see that? Alright, so that implies that spirits have the ability to cause things to happen naturally. You see that? Even though they are spiritual. Did you get that? Being spirits, they yet have the ability to control things in the physical. Also, you see that angels can make themselves visible. Remember that? Okay, to minister to God's people. See Genesis 18 verse 2. We saw that already. Genesis 18:2, okay, says, so he lifted his eyes, and behold, three men were standing by him. Underline that, three men were standing by him. Okay, and when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground. Okay, these men were angels, we've said. So they made themselves visible to Abraham. Alright, we've said that angels sometimes took human form, right? An illusion, not a literal incarnation. So angels could come in human form sometimes. Okay, you see that they could touch people. Daniel 10:18 tells us that. You see that there? Daniel 10:18. It says, then again, the one having the likeness of a man touched me. Underline that, touched me, and strengthened me. Okay, so angels are spirits, yet they can touch physical things where necessary. Praise the Lord. Look at Acts 12:7. Acts 12:7. Okay, it says, now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, that is Peter, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the right side. Underline that, he struck Peter, or he touched Peter, okay, on the right side, and raised him up. Underline that, raised him up, saying, arise quickly, and his chains fell off his hands. Okay, see here that the angel not only touched Peter, okay, it also caused Peter's chains, which were physical, right, material, to fall. Praise the Lord. Okay, so although angels are spirits, they yet have the power, the ability to cause physical changes. Do you see that so far? Okay, they can control physical situations. Praise the Lord. Angels can control the weather. We've seen that, okay? They can touch human beings. Amen. Where necessary. Praise the Lord. They can lift them up. Psalm 91:12 tells us that. Alright, where necessary. Alright, so we can be certain that angels are capable of doing their job. Amen. You know, that job entails protection, preservation over God's children, right? Alright, so angels are capable of carrying out that job, that role, although they are spirits. Is that clear? Alright, so let's move on now. Right now, let's see another subheading. Alright. What differentiates man from the angels? Praise the Lord. What differentiates, distinguishes man from the angels? Now, you observe that God only made two moral, eye-thinking beings. Okay? Two moral, eye-thinking beings. Now, they are men and the angels. You follow that? Now, by moral beings, we mean those who have the free will to sin or not. Amen? And who will bear the consequences of their action. You know, animals don't have that capacity. Amen? Alright, only men and the angels. Alright? Now, it is clear from scripture that men occupies a special place in God's plan above the angels. Okay, it is clear from scripture that man occupies a special place in God's plan above the angels. Now, first of all, you see that man was made in the image of God, while angels were not. Genesis 1:26-27 tells us that. It says, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. 27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. You see that? So man is made in the image and the likeness of God. Genesis 9:6 says similarly. Let's see that quickly. Genesis 9:6, it says, whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, for in the image of God he made man. You see that? In the image of God he made man. Okay, so because man was made in God's image, angels are subject to man. You follow that? Hebrews 1:14 calls them ministering spirits. Remember that? That is, spirits who serve man. Praise the Lord. You see that men will also judge the angels. Paul tells us that 1 Corinthians 6 verse 3. Okay? 1 Corinthians 6 3 says, "Do you not know that we shall judge angels?" Amen. "How much more things that pertain to this life." You see that? So man is made in the image, the likeness of God, and angels are underneath, amen, the authority that God has given to man. Now, secondly, you see that both men and angels sinned. Okay? But interestingly, God only chose to save man. How about that? Okay? Both angels and men sinned, but God only chooses to save man. You see that the angels who sinned were cast away. Peter tells us that, okay? God cast them away. 2 Peter 2 verse 4 says, "For if God did not spare the angels who sinned," you see that, "but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment." You see that? So they are cast away. You see that Jude echoes these same thoughts. Jude 6, see that there? Jude 6, it says, "And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode." Now, those are what we call demons today. Amen. Evil spirits. "He has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day." See that? Alright. As well as the writer of Hebrews. See Hebrews 2 verse 16. Hebrews 2 16. It says, "For indeed, he does not give aid to angels." Underline that. He does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. You see that? That is man. Okay? Now, that aid is salvation contextually. You follow that? See verses 3, 9, verses 10 to 11, then verses 14 to 15, then verse 17 of that same chapter. Contextually, the aid is salvation. So, you see this, that God sovereignly chose to save man, not the angels. Okay, that was his sovereign choice, to save man and not the angels. And that is why in Revelation chapter 5, you see something quite interesting there. Okay, please turn your Bible there. At Revelation chapter 5, you see that angels could not join the redeemed to sing the new song. Amen. Now, I've told you that the new song is a song of redemption, right? The song of salvation. Now, only saved men can sing the new song of the new covenant. Let's see that quickly. Revelation 5 verse 8. Revelation 5 8, okay? It says, "Now when he are taking the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders," underline that, the 24 elders, now those are men, "follow that, fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and a golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints, and they sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take up the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us.'" Underline that, "have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and every tongue and people and nation." Underline that, people and nation. Okay. "And have made us kings and priests," amen, "to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Underline that, on the earth. So you see that our new song speaks of salvation. Praise the Lord. We have been redeemed. Amen. You know, we explained this in our teaching on Christian meetings. Alright, so you can get it when it's out. Praise the Lord. So now see this. Man, right, sing the new song that speaks of redemption, salvation. Alright, then in the same chapter, angels are going to worship. Amen. Now observe their own song. See verse 11, Revelation 5. Look at what the angels say. It says, "Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands." Okay, this is Bible way of saying innumerable, countless. So it says, "Saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain.'" Okay, look at this. "To redeem us." Huh? "To save us." Look at this. "To receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. You observe that? Observe, they cannot say he has redeemed us. You follow that? Okay, the new song is therefore for new men alone. All right, to sing. You follow that? Not for angels. Angels are the work of Christ. Does not extend to angels. Do you get it? In the sense that it doesn't save angels from the consequences of their sins. Alright, so is there a difference between men and the angels? Yes. Praise the Lord. A massive one, if I do say so myself. Okay, men will always come first. Do you see that now? In God's plan. Always. Okay, and this reveals God's great love for mankind. Okay, the greatest display of the love of God, you know, we've said, is the dying of his son. John 3:16, for God so, the word so there means in this way, in this manner. So God in this manner, okay, loved the world, you see, man, right, that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see that? Okay, so the work of Christ is for men and for men alone. Alright, so now let's examine the New Testament ministry of angels. Praise the Lord. The New Testament ministry of angels. So what this means is that what we want to see is there a difference, okay, in how angels ministered in the Old Testament and now? Amen. Is there any change? And if so, what are they? Praise the Lord. Okay, so we have the Old Testament ministry of angels, how they ministered under the law. Amen. In the Old Testament. So has it changed now in the New Covenant? We want to find out, okay? Now, before we go on, let me quickly say this, that we must be careful of an increasing trend today. There is something we find going on in the world today, which is to dismiss the supernatural as superstition. You get it? You find folks in the world today just make a mockery of Christians, you know, because we believe heavily in the spiritual, the supernatural. We can say things like, what we believe in our faith is mere superstition. Now, you know, this is not novel. Amen. It's not new, right? You see that when our Lord Jesus Christ walked the earth some 2022 years ago, he encountered a certain Jewish sect, okay, in his days, called the Sadducees. Amen. Now, what did these Sadducees believe? You see that Acts 23:8 lets us know. Acts 23:8, it says, for Sadducees say that there is no resurrection. Okay, now it doesn't stop there. And no angel, you see that, or spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. So you see that with these Sadducees, they denied the existence of anything supernatural because they couldn't see them. So the Sadducees were sensual. You get it? Fleshly, carnal, flesh-ruled. Okay? What I can't see, I do not believe in. And you see, the truth is many today are also doing the same. You see, many today take that same path. Alright? But the Bible is clear that there is an unseen realm around us. You get it? There is an unseen realm around man. Okay, there is a realm with living creatures around us that we can't see. Okay, and in that realm are angels. Praise the Lord. Angels are present, okay, active in that realm. Hebrews 12 tells us, verse 22, it says, but you've come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. See that? So angels are present and active all around us. Praise the Lord. Okay, I said this so that you won't let someone make you doubt the existence of angels. Do you get it? So we mustn't let anyone, okay, theologian, laity, church leader, atheist, Buddhist, you know, as the case may be, make us doubt the existence of angels. Okay, angels are real, they are alive, amen, and they are active around God's people. Praise the Lord. All right, so having examined that, let's now examine our subheading, okay, the New Testament ministry of angels. Praise the Lord. Now you see that angels in the Bible are described as God's servants. Amen. Angels in the Bible are God's servants who carry out his bidding on the earth. Okay, they carry out his plan in the world. See, first of all, that angels are responsible for transmitting God's message to his people. Okay, they relay messages from God to his people. In Luke chapter 1, for example, you see that the angel Gabriel brings Zacharias good news. Okay, Luke chapter 1, verses 11 to 19. Let's say that quickly. Luke 1, 11 to 19. Okay, it says, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, that is Zacharias, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. And the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall neither drink wine nor strong drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. Okay? That implies a choice, that is, he's chosen for ministry from his mother's womb. Amen. And it will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord, their God. It will also go before him in spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, okay, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you. Underline that, was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. You see that? So sent by God with a message, okay, for Zacharias. Similarly, in Acts chapter 8, you see there that an angel gives Philip instructions. Let's see that quickly. Acts 8:26. Okay, it says, now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. Okay, you see that in Acts chapter 10, an angel tells Cornelius where to find Peter. Acts 10:1-8. Let's read that quickly. Acts 10:1-8. It says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what is called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming to him and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up as a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose son name is Peter. He is lodging with Simon a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among them, who waited on him continually. And when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. Okay? And you observe that the angel here did not preach to Cornelius. Do you see that? Okay? And as we will see in this teaching, angels should never teach anyone Bible doctrine. Never. Okay? That is not their job. Okay, we'll see that as we proceed in this particular teaching. Okay, see verse 22 of that same chapter. Verse 22, okay, it says, and they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you. Underline that, from divinely to you. Okay, to summon you to his house and to hear words from you. You see that? So observe what the angel does here. He told Cornelius to summon Peter. Do you see that? Come on, did you spot that? Okay, so it was Peter who could preach to Cornelius. Okay, the angel could not. Do you see that? Okay, because that is not the job of angels. You see that in Acts 27, an angel brings a message of hope to Paul. Okay, an angel brings a message of hope to Paul there. Okay, remember that this was during a shipwreck. Look at Acts 27, 23 to 25. Acts 27, 23 to 25. Okay, it says, "For there stood by me this night an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore take heart, men. For I believe God that it will be just as it was told me." See that? So he comes with a message of hope. Amen. For Paul. Another thing you find is that angels also carried out some judgments in the Bible. Okay, angels were responsible for carrying out some judgments in the Bible. For example, you see in 2 Samuel 24 that an angel brought a plague on Israel. 2 Samuel 24, 16 to 17, it says, "And when the angel stretched out his hand over Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord relented from the destruction and said to the angel who was destroying the people, 'It is enough, now restrain your hand.' And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing floor of Araunah, the Jebusite. Then David spoke to the Lord when he saw the angel who was striking the people, and said, 'Surely I have sinned and have done wickedly. But these sheep, what have they done? Let your hand, I pray, be against me and against my father's house.'" See that there? Okay, bringing judgment against Israel. Then in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, an angel struck down the Assyrian army. 2 Chronicles 32 verse 21. 2 Chronicles 32:21, it says, "Then the Lord sent an angel who called down every mighty man of valor, leader and captain in the camp of the king of Assyria. So he turned shamefaced to his own land, and when he had gone into the temple of his God, some of his own offspring struck him down with the sword there." You see that? Alright, you see that our Lord Jesus Christ is spoken of in scripture as coming back physically. Amen. He would appear physically at the end of the age. And when that happens, angels will return with him. You see that Matthew 16. Amen. Now remember that that coming will be for judgment. Amen. On the sinful. You see that Matthew 16:27 says, "For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works." See that there? Then see Luke 9:26. Luke 9:26, okay, it says, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory, in his Father's, and of the holy angels." Unlike that of the holy angels, then see 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 7. 2 Thessalonians 1 7, it says, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels." Unlike that, with his mighty angels. You see that? So the angels will come with Jesus at the end of the age, okay, in judgment. You see that angels also patrol the earth. Amen. They patrol the earth. Okay. Zechariah 1, 10 to 11 tells us that, okay, they move to and fro on the earth. Zechariah 1, 10 to 11, okay, it says, "And the man who stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, 'These are the ones whom the Lord has sent to walk to and fro throughout the earth.'" On land that, walk to and fro throughout the earth. 11 says, "So they answered the angel of the Lord who stood among the myrtle trees and said, 'We have walked to and fro throughout the earth, and behold, all the earth is resting quietly.'" See that? Okay, moving to and fro the earth as God's messengers, as God's representatives on the earth. Not only that, you see that angels fight against demonic forces. Amen. Angels have that role, that duty, that responsibility to fight against the forces of darkness. Daniel 10:13. Okay, it says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. You see that? So something's going on in the realm of the spirit. Amen. A kind of war, praise the Lord, a kind of battle, amen, between the forces of light and the forces of darkness. You see that there? Okay, they withstand one another, praise the Lord. Now you observe that some of these duties of angels that we just saw are from the Old Testament, right? And they are very destructive. Do you see that so far? So we've seen angels killing people, amen, and judging, praise the Lord, okay, and so on and so forth. Okay, now the question is, if God does not destroy, how come we see his angels do so in scripture? Do you get it? God doesn't destroy, doesn't kill, right? Okay, and if that is the case, how come we see his angels doing so? So that would mean that not everything angels did was a perfect reflection of God's character. Do you get it? Okay, remember we've said that angels are intelligent and high-thinking beings. Now what this means is that angels are not robots. Okay, so that means that angels can reason and carry out their own desires. Amen. They think, amen, they contemplate their actions, their choices, just like man does. Okay, however, the epistles seem to indicate a degree of misunderstanding or limited understanding in their knowledge of God and his things. Okay, that is, angels don't know it all. Okay, angels are still learning, praise the Lord. Okay, see for example Ephesians chapter 3. So with angels you find a degree of misunderstanding, right, or limited understanding in their knowledge of God and his things. Ephesians 3:8-10. To me, who am least than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God may be made known by the church. Underline that, manifold wisdom of God, okay, and underline made known by the church, to the principalities and powers. Underline that, the principalities and powers in the heavenly. See that? Okay, so here Paul makes it clear that one of the reasons why the gospel is preached, why the gospel is proclaimed, why the gospel is made known, is to make it known to angels. You see that there? Okay, it is to make the gospel known to the angels. He calls them principalities and powers. You see that there? A synonym for angels. Remember that? Okay, so this points our attention to that fact, that some facts were hidden from the angels. Do you see that? Till the gospel came. So there were some things that angels did not know, amen, till the gospel came. You see that Peter says something similar. 1 Peter 1, let's see that. 1 Peter 1, 10 to 12, amen. 1 Peter 1, 10 to 12. It says, of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, or searched carefully, okay? I underline the prophets have inquired. Underline search carefully, okay? Who prophesied of the grace that will come to you? Now look at 11, it says searching. Underline the searching. What or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glories that would follow. So Peter here, the Apostle Peter, lets us know that God's holy prophets through the ages, amen, sought to understand God's plan of salvation. Okay, so they had a partial understanding of the same. Okay, and interestingly, so did the angels. See verse 12 of that same chapter. It says to them, that is the prophets, it was revealed that not to themselves but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you. See that? Okay, by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. So what they searched for, what they inquired for, will be found where? In the gospel preached. Now look at this. Things which angels desire to look into. Underline that. Things which angels desire to look into. So you know, this is quite interesting. Okay, that as men desired to understand the subject of salvation, so did the angels. You see that? So as men searched for, right, looked into, looked after, sought to understand the subject of salvation, so did the angels. So both men and angels suffered the same predicament. See that? Now what is that predicament? Limited understanding. Okay? Into the plans and the purposes of God. Okay, so you see that men and angels are somewhat linked together. Okay, it seems like angels look to men to understand God. Do you see that? Okay, and when men are confused, amen, angels will follow suit. Do you get it? So men and angels are somewhat linked together. So you see here that even angels sought to understand the plans, the purposes, the counsel, amen, of God in salvation. You see that, in fact, the word desire in verse 12 of that same chapter is in the present tense verb in the Greek. That is, even till now. Okay? Even till now. Angels are continually desiring, continually longing to look into these things. Okay? The things that pertain to salvation. Remember Ephesians 3:10? It says, to the intent, now, that the manifold wisdom of God may be made known by the church. It says, to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. So you see that how the manifold wisdom of God, his plans, his purposes, his counsel, is made known to principalities and powers is by the church. Do you see that? So the church learns the gospel and also teaches angels the same. Do you get it? As we learn the gospel, angels come around, okay, to listen and to learn. Do you follow that? That is what Paul is saying here. So angels now look to the church to learn the gospel of Christ, to learn the doctrine of Christ, as well as the things of God. So you know what this means? This means that if your doctrine is wrong, you will confuse the angels. Do you follow that? Wrong doctrine taught in the church will not only confuse the saints, it will also confuse the angels. Okay? So they will believe the wrong things. See 1 Timothy 3:16. 1 Timothy 3:16. It says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit. Look at this. Seen by angels. Online that, seen by angels. Preached among the Gentiles. Believed on in the world. Received up in glory. You see the phrase there, seen by angels. Now the word seen there is from the Greek word, oraho. H-O-R-A-O. The last O accentuated, which means to perceive. That's that word, okay? To perceive, to understand, okay? To see one as it truly is. You follow that? So, till God was manifested in the flesh, referring to the incarnation of Jesus, angels never truly understood him. Let me say that again. Until God was manifested in the flesh, that is in the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ, angels never truly understood him. So just like men, angels acted in the presumption of who they thought God was. Amen. You know that if angels look to men, like I said earlier on, to understand God, and man is confused about God, then angels would also be confused. Now that is why they killed in the Old Testament. You follow that? and even in Matthew till the book of Acts, amen, and Revelation. Do you get it now? So angels were acting based on the information that was supplied by men. Do you get it? You know, if men believe that God can kill, angels will believe the same. Do you follow that? You know, if men believe that God can strike people, you know, put plagues on them and so on and so forth, so will the angels. So you see that the angels actually had to unlearn, right, and relearn the ways of God in the New Testament. Do you follow that? And they are still learning, just like us. Praise the Lord. Okay? And that is why we must never let angels teach us Bible doctrine. No. Okay? No, they must not. Angels are not permitted to guide men in the ways of God through teaching. No. Okay? You see that the understanding of angels of salvation, the plans of God, is very limited. So angels know part-time, as revealed in their interactions with men. Amen. They interact with men to understand the will, the purposes, and the counsel of God in the earth. See 1 Timothy 5:21. Look at how Paul says it there. 1 Timothy 5:21. He says, I charge you before God, underline that, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at this. And before is implied there. Okay. And before the elect angels, underline that, and the elect angels, that you observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality. So you see that Paul instructs Timothy here, okay, is trying to, you know, give Timothy admonitions concerning his conduct, all right. So when Paul wants to instruct Timothy, he says, I charge you before or in the presence of God, amen, and the Lord Jesus Christ, and the elect angels. Okay, he has the angels there to emphasize the fact that angels are watching. Do you follow that? Angels are learning, okay, from his actions. Do you see that? So if Timothy follows Paul's instructions, the angels will see that, okay? They will observe his obedience, okay? And also do likewise. But if Timothy disobeys, the angels will also see. Do you get it? They will observe. So angels see everything we do in the church. Do you follow that? They are learning. You see, the Paul says something similar. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 9. He repeats something similar there. Let's see that quickly. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 9. 1 Corinthians 4 9. It says, For I think that God has displayed us the apostles lest, as men condemned to death, for we have been made a spectacle. Underline that, a spectacle, okay, to the world, both to angels and to men. Underline that, both to angels and to men. Now that word spectacle used here is theatron in the Greek. Okay, T-H-E-A-T-R-O-N. That's that word. The root word of the English term theater. Okay, that's where we have that English word, theater, okay? That word refers to a theater, literally in the Greek. Theatron, okay? A theater, a place for public exhibition. That's that word, okay? Where men were gazed upon. Looked upon, observed. Okay, so you see Paul here, he says that the angels actually gaze upon the activities of the apostles. Do you see that? They look to the apostles to understand. Do you see that? So they observe everything we do, both laity and leadership in the church. So the question now is, has anything changed about how angels ministered in the Old Testament and how they minister now in the New Testament? Yes. Several things have changed. Now, what has changed? Number one, angels now know the character of God better. Do you get it? They now understand God's nature better. Amen. And number two, okay, their roles are no longer destructive. Do you get it? The duties, the responsibilities of angels in the New Testament are no longer destructive, but preservative. Do you get it? They preserve. Now, what hasn't changed? That's another question. What hasn't changed? Okay, what do angels still do today? All right. What is the ministry of angels today? All right. Now, number one, angels still look to man, okay, now the church, right, to understand God. That hasn't changed in the New Testament. Okay, angels still look to man, okay, now that will be the church, okay, to understand God, as we've seen in 1 Peter 1:12. Amen. Then number two, angels still protect and preserve man. Praise the Lord. They still protect and preserve men. You see that in Daniel chapter 6, an angel there shut the lion's mouths. Amen. So they wouldn't hurt Daniel. Praise the Lord. Daniel 6:21. Let's see that quickly. Daniel 6:21. It says, then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. 22 says, my God sent his angel. Underline that. Sent his angel and shut the lion's mouths. Underline that. Shut the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him, and also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. See that? So, the ministry of angels entails protection. Praise the Lord. So, angels stop harm from getting to us. Do you see that there? They prevent harm, danger, okay, from getting to us. Not only that, in Daniel chapter 3, you see there that an angel delivers those three Hebrew boys from the flames. Amen. Yahweh sends his angel to deliver the three Hebrew boys from the flames. Daniel 3:24-25. Let's see that quickly. Daniel 3:24-25. It says, then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. 25 says, look, he answered, I see four men, underline that, four men loose, okay, walking in the midst of the fire. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Underline that, the fourth is like the Son of God. Okay, then see verse 28 of that same chapter. It makes that clearer. It says, Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel, underline that, sent his angel, and delivered his servants who trusted in him. And they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. You see that? So angels preserve God's people from natural harms and disasters. You see that there? They can stop natural phenomenon that should cause harm to you, okay, not to get to you. Praise the Lord. That will be the ministry of angels, okay? You see that in Acts 5, an angel releases the disciples from prison. Okay, Acts 5:19-20. Let's hear that quickly. Acts 5:19-20. Okay, it says, but at night an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors. Online that, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out. You see that there? And said, go, stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. Similarly, in Acts chapter 12, Peter is delivered from prison. Okay, Acts 12:7-11. You see that there? It says, now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, that is Peter, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly, and his chains fell off his hands. On line that, his chains fell off his hands. Okay, then the angel said to him, gird yourself and tie up your sandals. And so he did. And he said to him, put on your garment and follow me. So he went out and followed him, and did not know what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and second guard post, they came to the iron gates that led to the city. Okay, look at this. Which opened to them of its own accord. Underline that. Okay, from which to accord. And he went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel. Underline that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of all the Jewish people. Okay, so you see here that angels can even cause physical hindrances, amen, to open. Praise the Lord, okay. Blockages here and there, they can cause them to open supernaturally, amen. So you see that in the ministry of angels is also deliverance from danger, amen. You know, as the psalmist says, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Psalm 91, 10 to 12. Praise the Lord. Okay, so that is one of the ministry of angels we enjoy today. Amen. Deliverance from danger. Number three, angels can also strengthen us. Praise the Lord. Okay, angels can also strengthen us in times of weaknesses. You see that our Lord Jesus the Christ enjoyed the ministry of angels a lot in this area. Jesus was ministered to in the wilderness after his temptation. Matthew 4 verse 11 tells us that. Let's see that quickly. Matthew 4:11 says, Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. See that? They ministered to him. Okay, also before his death, Luke 22:41-43. Luke 22:41-43, he says, And he there being our Lord Jesus the Christ, was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. For three says, Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. Underline that. Strengthening him. So angels can strengthen man in his weaknesses. Okay, and this is done most times through encouraging words. Amen. Okay, they can bring encouraging words to you, and also by reminding him of God's promises. Amen. So angels can also do that in their ministry toward man. Praise the Lord. Then number four, God may sometimes, okay, put sometimes in capital letters, use angels to lead his children. Praise the Lord. God may sometimes use angels to lead his children. Now this is known as spectacular guidance in Bible theology, okay? Spectacular guidance. You see that in Judges 13, an angel there gives instructions as touching Samson's birth. Let's see that quickly. Judges 13, an angel of the Lord is sent to give the parents of Samson instructions as touching the birth of that child. Judges 13:2-5. It says, Now there was a certain man from Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, Okay, indeed now you're barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, please be careful not to drink wine nor similar drink, and not to eat anything unclean, for behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazareth to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. You see that? It comes with guidance, instructions, okay, for Manoah and the wife. In Acts 27, you see there that an angel brought Paul a message of deliverance, okay, from a shipwreck. We saw that earlier on Acts 27:23-25. Let's see that again. Acts 27:23-25, it says, For there stood by me this night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. Now you observe that in both instances, that is Manoah, right, and then Paul here, the angels actually gave the recipients, okay, Manoah and his wife, then Paul here, words of wisdom. Amen. You know, that is revelation concerning the future. Amen. So this can happen sometimes. Amen. You can have interactions with angels. Amen. You can have interactions with them, although caution is required. Amen. In our relationship with angels. Amen. We must be cautious. Amen. Careful in our interactions, relationships with angels. Now, first of all, here, we must beware of receiving false doctrines from the angels. Do you follow that? We must beware of receiving false doctrine from angels. You see that the Bible warns against receiving false doctrine from so-called angels. The Apostle Paul speaking, Galatians 1 verse 8, it says, but even if we or an angel from heaven, see that? Underline that, okay? An angel from heaven, preach any other gospel, underline that, any other gospel, okay, to you, can we call that a deviation? Another? False? Okay? To you, than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. You see that? So Paul warns against receiving a false doctrine even from angels. Okay, Paul makes this warning because it is actually possible. Do you get it? It is actually possible to receive false doctrine from a demon masquerading as an angel. Amen. The Apostle Paul speaking as 2 Corinthians 11 verse 4, it says, Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Do you see that? So Satan can disguise, okay, as an angel and bring false doctrines, heresies into the church. See that? So Christians must be careful. I say that again. Okay, very careful and wary, okay, of any so-called revelation from angels today. Have you observed that many false doctrines today are actually a product of these so-called divine revelations? Right? You see that the Mormons, for example, they claim that an angel called Moroni spoke to Joseph Smith, okay, and revealed to him the doctrines of their religion, okay, the tenets of that religion. Now, interestingly, this revelation that this angel, this so-called angel, gave to Joseph Smith contradicts several clear teachings of scripture. Amen. Several. You know, that revelation contradicts the Trinity. Amen. It contradicts the person of Christ. It contradicts justification by faith alone, and so on and so forth. Several others. Okay. So Christians must be wary of such claims. Okay. And they should be wary of such claims. You know that the Bible has attested that it is closed. Amen. So what that means is that nothing can be added to the Bible, neither can anything be subtracted from the Bible again. Revelation 22:18 makes that clear. 18 to 19 of that chapter, Revelation 22:18 to 19, it says, for I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, on the line that has to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, on the line that, if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. You know, so what this means is that God is no longer inspiring scripture today. Do you follow that? In Bible theology, we call this, the scripture has been closed. Do you get it? The canon of scripture has been closed. The 66 books of scripture have been completed. Do you get it? The 66 books of scripture have been completed. Closed. Okay? So, this means that any so-called new revelation, amen, of doctrine from angels must be rejected. Do you follow that? You know, I told you earlier on that angels are not permitted to teach God's people doctrine. No, they are not. So any so-called new revelation today from angels must and should be rejected. God is no longer inspiring scripture today. Genesis to Revelation has been completed. Okay, so angels can provide guidance in our day-to-day lives, our daily lives, okay, and our activities. But teaching Christians Bible doctrine is a no-go area. Do you get it? Teaching Christians doctrine is a no-go area for the angels. No. Okay, we teach them doctrine. Do you follow that? Not the other way around. No. Hallelujah. Is that clear? So be careful of receiving doctrine from angels, okay, in your interactions with them. Praise the Lord. Now, secondly, do not worship angels. Praise the Lord. That's another thing to be cautious of in your interactions with angels. Do not worship angels, pray to them, or seek them. No. Do not. Now, you find that most of the epistles were written to correct false doctrines in the church. Amen. You find several of the epistles were written to that end, all right, to protect sound doctrine, but also to preserve, protect, okay, and safeguard, amen, from false doctrine, heresy. Okay, and you see that like most of the epistles, Colossians was written to combat false doctrines that had entered the early church. Amen. Now, one of such false doctrines was the worship of angels. Okay, the worship of angels. See Colossians 2 verse 18. Colossians 2:18. It says, let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in a false humility and worship of angels. Online that, worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. You see that? So one of the false doctrines corrected in the early church was worship of angels. Okay, Christians are not to worship angels. Similarly, in Revelation chapter 19, please turn your Bible there. You see that the Apostle John is warned sternly, okay, by an angel not to worship him. You see the Revelation 19 verse 10. Please turn your Bible there quickly. Revelation 19:10. It says, and I fell at his feet to worship him. You see that? Him there is an angel. I there is John, the Apostle John. Okay. And he said to me, see that you do not do that. You see, in the exclamation mark. Okay, a very strong phrase in the Greek. See that you do not do that. Underline that, okay? And look at this. I am your fellow servant. How about that? Okay, and of your brethren. You see that? Underline that. Of your brethren. That is fellow Christians, right? Who have the testimony of Jesus. You see that? So angels serve believers today. See that there? It says, I am your fellow servant and of your brethren. Okay, it says, worship God. Hallelujah. Underline that. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit or the essence of prophecy. Okay, so Christians today are not to worship angels, okay, neither are we to pray to them. All right, you know that angels are neither omnipotent nor omniscient, right? So that means that angels are incapable of answering prayers. Amen. Only God is omnipotent and omniscient, and that is why only God can answer prayers. Praise the Lord. Okay, you know, to pray to angels today is to give them the same status as God, which is wrong. Okay, and that is why you won't find any instance in scripture where anyone prayed to angels or asked angels for help. No. In the New Testament, in the Old Testament, you won't find any instance like that. Praying to angels, asking angels for help, no instance like that. Okay, we don't pray to angels. Amen. We don't ask angels for help. We ask God for help, and God sends his angels to help. Do you get it? So we are not asking the angels. Do you follow that? We are asking God. Praise the Lord. So without seeing angels physically, we can be sure, certain, that they go into action immediately as we pray. Okay? So all you need to do is just to pray. Okay? Angels know what to do. Don't pray to them. Okay? You see that Psalm 103 verse 20, it says, "Bless the Lord, you His angels, who excel in strength, who do His word." Underline that, who do His word. It says, "Heeding the voice of His word." You see that? So angels live to obey the voice of God's word. So you see, you can speak scripture. Do you follow that? You can speak God's word. You don't have to speak to the angels. Angels know what to do. Do you get it? You, your job, just pray and speak God's word. Speak God's promises about protection. Okay? Angels hear that and they know what to do. Praise the Lord. Okay? So you don't have to pray to the angels. Is that clear? Alright. Then lastly, as we round off now quickly, let me say this, that we must be careful and mindful, wary even, okay, of teachings that try to diminish the ministry of angels today. Okay, we must be mindful of such teachings that try to diminish the ministry of angels today. See that today we find some Christians who teach that the supernatural has ended. Okay, you find Christians who teach that today, that the supernatural has ended. So what that means is that Christians should not expect any form of miracles today. You get it? Christians, believers today should not expect any form of the miraculous, okay, miracles today, including interacting with angels. Okay, now nothing could be further from the truth. Amen. Now you find that angels were active in the early church era. Active. Okay, in Acts chapter 8, verse 26, an angel there gives Philip directions. Amen. So active. In Acts 10, 3 to 6, Cornelius is given a word of knowledge. Remember that? Okay, that is divine revelation of the past, okay, and the present about Peter's whereabouts. In Acts 12, 6 to 11, an angel there rescues Peter from prison. In Acts 27, 23 to 24, an angel promised Paul that he would be preserved. Amen. From shipwreck. Do you see that? So angels were present, active in the life of the early church. Now there are some today who teach that these experiences with angels that we find in the book of Acts, right, were exclusive to the apostles. Do you follow that? They were exclusive, reserved only for the apostles and the first century believers, the first century Christians. That is, after the first century, now this is their reasoning, their logic, their argument, alright? After the first century, all and every supernatural activity ceased, okay? Including interacting with angels. Do you follow the argument? Okay, so after the first century, you know, quite interesting argument. God stopped displaying His power in the church. Okay, so the miraculous ended in the first century. Quite interesting. So we can see the ministry of angels in the book of Acts, but we should not expect such today because that has ceased. You know, this is quite interesting. You know, quite interesting reasoning. You know, because you read the book of Hebrews. Amen. And in the book of Hebrews, the writer of the book of Hebrews tells his readers to keep on doing good. Okay, he encourages acts of charity, acts of good, you know, towards men. You know, now why does he say that? He tells the saints to do that in hopes that they might stumble upon angels. Come on. Okay, in hopes that maybe someday they might do good to angels without realizing it. Let's see that. Hebrews 13 verse 2. Hebrews 13 verse 2. It says, "Do not forget to entertain strangers," okay? That is, be charitable to them, do good to them, okay? "For by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels." Do you see that? Now, it is interesting that none of his audience, none of his readers, were the original apostles. None of them. Neither were they first generation believers, first generation Christians associated with the apostles. Actually, his audience had received the message of salvation from them. Hebrews 2 verse 3 tells us that. Let's say that quickly. Hebrews 2:3. It tells us that. It says, How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us, underline that, confirmed to us by those who heard him. Underline that, those who heard him. Now, those are the apostles, okay, and their disciples. Okay, so the audience of the writer of Hebrews were neither apostles. Do you see that? Neither were they the disciples of the apostles. Come on, they were not first generation Christians. Yet, the writer of Hebrews tells them that they can look forward to interactions with angels. Do you see that? So, that reasoning that, you know, the miraculous interaction with angels sees in the first century, you know, it cannot pass the test of scripture. It can't. So, there is therefore no evidence in scripture to reject the possibility of angelic visitations today. Praise the Lord. Amen. We can expect angelic experiences today. Now, some of these theologians will also argue that the sufficiency of scripture and the closing of its canon cancels any possibility of angelic appearances today. Okay, so what that means is that, you know, since scripture has closed, you know, the scriptures have been closed, amen, ended, the writing of it closed as well, ended, that means that God is no longer revealing things today anymore, amen. God is no longer revealing anything today, so we don't need angels appearing to men anymore. Do you get that logic? The scriptures have been closed and dead, amen. Alright, God has revealed all he needs to reveal to men, okay, in 66 books, alright. So, angels don't need to appear to men anymore, amen. We don't need them anymore because all the revelation of God will be found in those 66 books. Now, all of this comes under that doctrine of cessationism. Remember, I told you about it, right? Cessationism, okay, that says that the miraculous ceased, amen, after the first century. Now, again, this logic is faulty. It sounds nice, okay, but it's faulty. Angels appearing today is not to add to the scriptures, okay? The canon of scripture is closed. We agree with that, okay? So, they are not adding anything they should not add. I remember we've seen that, right? Okay, they should not add anything to the scriptures. Okay, the appearance of angels today would be to communicate with us. Okay, the same way, you know, that God can use persons here and there to communicate with his children. Do you follow that? Do you get it? You know, if God can use human beings, right, to warn, direct, and instruct us, I see no reason why God can't use angels too, occasionally. Praise the Lord. Okay, there seems to be no reason in scripture why God can't do that. So, angelic appearances and experiences are very much present today. Praise the Lord. Okay, we can expect and we should expect them in our day-to-day living as Christians. But again, like we said earlier on, caution is required, okay, and mandated when dealing with angels. You see that any experience with an angel in this age, in this church age, must be gauged by God's word. Okay, so you test every so-called supernatural spiritual encounter with God's word. God's word remains the ultimate test to prove any and every spiritual encounter. Praise the Lord. So did you learn? So is this clear now? Alright, so say this: I have and I enjoy the ministry of angels in my daily life. Say, I enjoy divine angelic preservation, protection in the name of Jesus. Say, I also enjoy supernatural direction by angels in my daily life. Say, in my daily life, I am kept, me and mine, from any and every form of danger, both physical and spiritual, by the angels of the Lord. Say, God has given his angels charge over me and over mine. Hallelujah. And I enjoy the ministry of angels all the days of my life. Praise the Lord. Lift your hands, give God praise, thank him. Just give him praise. We have the ministry of angels. We enjoy the ministry of angels in our lives. Give him praise. Thank him for that. Oh, thank you, Lord.